Ephesians chapter 1, even for those, we're still in Ephesians, so 1 through 7 last week and 14 tonight. We finished off last week in verse 7, and it says, in forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his, and that just segues back into verse 8 where it says, which he made toward us. We have so much to be thankful, yet we still grumble about this and worry about. You told us, Lord, that tonight I just ask you for a new infusion of your Holy Spirit. And all. When we ask you, it's there. Because then we ask tonight to influence us and to cause us anxiety. So, Father, tonight, by your Spirit, just infuse us again. Revive us. Open us up this night to what you have to say, not what this man brings, produces through the word of Christ and his finished work. And we ask it in his name this night, Father, through Christ our Lord. So now, I'm going to read this last, but I want this focus to always. It would be nice to end with, this is just, it's titled, Him, Him, Him. That's capital H-I-M. Dr. S.D. Gordon tells of an old Christian woman who began to tell on her. She had once known much of the Bible. Eventually, only one precious bit stayed with her, and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. By and by, part of that slipped, gets hold, and she would quiet that which I have committed to him. At last, as she hovered on the borderline between this and the next world, her loved ones noticed her. They bent down to see if she needed it. She was and over again to herself, the one word of the text, him, him, him. She had lost the whole Bible, but one word. But she had the whole Bible in that one word. And this is my whole message that I've started with. It's in Christ, Christ alone. If we have nothing else in this world, we have him. Amen. All things in Christ alone. So, I might even read it at the end again. It's my prerogative, right? All right, well, let's begin. Which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. What do you take from this? Abound. What does it mean? It means abundance, overabundance. You can't fill it more. It's impossible. It's a continuum flow of his grace and his mercy and his love, always for us. It never changes. It's ours, and it's all toward us because of his love for us. Wisdom and prudence. What is the word prudence? Understanding. I can be up here all night saying these things, but you have to grasp this. You have to take this and truly understand what he's trying to say through these words, that how much we mean to him in all things of our life and every walk that we have, no matter where we're walking, no matter where we're going. His abundant love and grace and mercy is always overflowing for us. But so often we get off track and we forget, we put our eyes on everything else but at that love and that grace and that mercy that is always ours regardless of what mood we're in. He never changes. His love will never change for us. But yet we still worry about this, we worry about that, I'm worried about my wife because she's going to be alone this weekend. Why should I worry? He loves her and cares for her whether I'm there or not. It might be a good thing for her, right? Who knows? But we do. We get off track and we forget about how much he cares for us, how much abundance of grace and mercy is always ours. It's 24 hours a day, 365. It's better than Denny's. Always there. Always there. It never changes. And the wisdom that he gives us, and we take this sometimes and we just blow it away. We forget that we get so puffed up. And we think we're so good and all this. But yet it's all him working and giving to us his wisdom, abundance of it. The understanding that we need, his understanding. everything that He wants us to know, He wants us to seek Him for that wisdom, for that understanding. Because if we're truly seeking Him in all things the way we should, then we never have to worry about ever being deceived by anything or anybody, because it's going to be His discernment working in our lives, giving us this discernment, this understanding, so we will never be led astray. Amen? That's why I love this fellowship so much, because it's book by book, verse by verse, and a lot of times word by word. You'll hear me say this 1,000 times. Words are very important, extremely important, especially in this day and age where they spin so much of these words. And if you're not careful, you'll get caught up in it. But if you stay in the Scriptures, stay seeking His wisdom, His knowledge, His discernment working in us to keep us on that track, because we have an overabundance of all these things for us from His hand and His hand alone. Because our wisdom, our knowledge is as nothing. Nothing. It has to be Him. And all these spin doctors and all these psychologists and psychiatrists with all of these things, and it's going to hit us a lot more, because we are the weird ones in the world. We are the ones that need help. We are the ones that took that blind leap. There's no such thing as a blind leap for a born-again believer. Because the Bible says that to every man He has given a measure of faith. And that's a holy spiritual faith. And all people have it. But it depends on which way you're going to follow with that faith. And if the faith is going to grow, it's only going to grow through the knowledge and the association, the relationship that we have. Don't you thank the Lord that we don't have religion in this fellowship? We have a relationship. And this is what a Christian walk is. It's a relationship with the living God, the one that said, I love you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be there. Amen? So it's that abundance that we have, overabundance. It's overflowing constantly for us. The wisdom that we have. Wisdom in the Bible is often coupled with knowledge. Romans 11:33, 1 Corinthians 12:8, and Colossians 2:3. In anticipation of our needing guidance, direction, and knowing, God tells us to ask for wisdom, assuring of us of a liberal reception. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I remember a lot of times when I was in college and going for tests and everything, and we always pray, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom for this test. And we had this one professor, he says, if you studied for it, you'll have it. If you didn't, you ain't getting it. So we do ask stupid things, foolish things, don't we? He's given us a brain, a beautiful brain. Amen? It's got the best hard drive in the world, isn't it? Sometimes it's too good, because whatever we put in there, it stays there. But He's faithful and loving and forgiving. Amen? Verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. What mystery do you think He was talking about? Anybody know? Anybody care to guess? Glory, hallelujah. What happened a long, long time ago when He came unto His own? His own reject Him, didn't He? This was in the foreknowledge of God, all of this. He knew. The Bible says that He loves everybody, right? So that means He loves everybody. So He knew before exactly what was going to happen. It was all put into His Word, yet how many people just totally did not see it?
did not believe. Man's wisdom. Man's religion. But God wants a relationship. He wants a relationship. And there's only one way he's going to get that relationship. When the heart is tender and turns towards him. Then that relationship begins because of Jesus Christ and that perfect sacrifice on that cross. Amen?
So the mystery. In the New Testament, the word denotes something that people could never know by their own understanding and that demands a revelation from God. The secret thoughts, plans, and dispensations of God remained hidden from unregenerated mankind, but are revealed to all believers. Amen? The natural mind is enmity against God. And there's nobody in this room that would be sitting here tonight if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit working in your heart before you said, "Yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me and come into my life and change it for your glory and for your honor." But so often we want that change for our own benefit, for our own desires, and for our own needs. I've seen so much of it. But I know and I thank the Lord when He truly and when we truly give that heart fully to Him, that's when He truly does the work in the life. A lot of people mouth words, but it's not words that God wants. He wants the heart that is willing to be broken, the heart that is willing to allow Him to do whatever is necessary in our hearts for His glory, for His purpose, and not for our own. We are so spoiled, and I have to say we because I know there's more than one person in here besides me, so I can say we, that we are so spoiled because He has been so good to us. So good to us. And sometimes we think we deserve it. But there's only one thing that we truly deserve. But glory to God. Glory to that finished work of that cross. That we will never get what we deserve. Amen? We will never get what we deserve. We will get His unconditional love. For all eternity. That is the beauty. Having made known to us the mystery of His will. The mystery that He loves all. And He wants all people to come together. He wants His church to be one. Unified in Him and Him alone. Not any schisms or splits or any of that. We're all to be one. We all have our little idiosyncrasies. But He can work around them. Amen. And I thank Him for that. Right, Mikey? Amen. So, in all of this, He purposed in Himself. We read these words. I was reading them for years, but it really never really sunk in until I started studying this and taking these words and expounding on them and let them truly work in my life. There is so much that He gives us and so much more that He wants to give us. And we hinder Him sometimes by our own little self petty any things in our lives that we allow to influence us. The stupid things. The things that mean nothing for eternity. But He wants us to walk out of that mode and get into the mode of truly knowing that He wants His perfect will for us. Not this little bit of things that we allow Him to give us, but He wants His perfect will to work in our lives constantly. What is His perfect will? For us to conform to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? One thing is stay out of Walmart. That'll help. But He truly wants us to walk in the way, that perfect way that He has for us, not what we think we want. See, once we start doing that, we're falling right back into religion again. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because then we start these little, well, don't do this and do that. No. Do His will. What is His will? To conform us to the image of Jesus. And how is He going to do that? Trials and tribulations.
We got to have them. We don't want them, do we? But if we're truly seeking His will, truly seeking what He wants for us, the best for us, the best for us is the trials and tribulations that will truly bring us to our knees, truly bring that humility, that humbleness that Jesus had in all the things that He went through, yet He still never spoke or thought an evil thought against anybody at any time. That's why I say, be careful. Stay out of Walmart. Get you in trouble. But this is what He wants for us. His perfect will, and that's His perfect will. Everybody says, well, I want to know the will of God. The will of God is to conform us to the image of Christ. There is no other part of God's will. And if we're working toward, or not working, but if we're allowing the Holy Spirit to take us in that direction, then everything else falls into place. Feeding the poor, doing this for other people, and not thinking of ourselves. I'm still kicking myself for us buying that 50-inch TV. I haven't told her this, but that was a big mistake. Should have never happened. What's wrong with a 47-inch? You see what I'm trying to... I'm sharing it from my heart because things that are working in my life, what God's trying to do in my life, and if He's trying to do it in my life, He's trying to do it in somebody else's life here. Because we all fall into this trap. Are we all human? Do we all have a sinful nature? Do we fall into these traps? Regardless of what they... Now, it might be different for other people. It might be something else. I don't know, but God knows. And the point here is that the mystery was to bring us into this full relationship with Him, to know Christ. Paul says, I want to know Christ and Him crucified. Wow. Can I honestly say that tonight? Not in honesty. I want to. I really do. So all of this He purposed in Himself for us. All of this. And Christ, knowing full well what was going to happen to Him, yet He still kept His face toward that cross, knowing full well what was going to happen, for 6 hours hanging there, knowing, yet He still steadfast put His face toward that cross. This what He knew all this. Knew all this. Romans 16:25-26. Now to Him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now has been made manifest by the prophetic scriptures, has been known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. Now, the prophetic scriptures, if you go to Romans 1:2, it says, which He promised before through His prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Prophetic Scriptures. Then 2 Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which is given to us in Christ Jesus before what? Before time. Time. Do you know what that truly means? Before time? We are locked into time. He isn't. All of this before time. I can't understand that because all I know is time. I get up in the morning. I have my toast, my coffee. Oh, excuse me, first of all, I have to feed the dog. All of these things, time. Everything. Every day it's the same thing over and over. We're locked in this time. But this was before time began. Before I had any inkling of anything. It was in His mind at that time. His time. We sing a song once in a while. Used to sing a lot. All things are beautiful in His time. All things are beautiful in His time. But so often when we try to get ahead of Him, we try to do it in our time, then it's not so beautiful. Amen? That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one. And this is the key to the all 14 verses here. Together in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. In Him. Not in anybody else. Not in any other person. It's all in Him. In Christ. Christ alone. All things in Christ alone. In Galatians 4:4-5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons and daughters. In the Scriptures, they don't have a differentiator between men and women when it comes to things of God, because we're all one in Christ, sons and daughters. Then in Colossians 1:16-17, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is above all things, and in Him all things consist. What does that word mean? They're all held together by Him. He spoke it, it was, and He holds it. Amen? So when next Tuesday comes, it's still all in His hands regardless. Amen? It's all in His hands. What's it say? I just read it here. Thrones or dominions or principality or powers. There's only one true power. Satan has no power. Do you think he has power? He only has what God allows him to have. That and no more. He's a real foe. But he can't do anything to the born-again believers. He can put thoughts in their heads, you know, tempt them. I mean, he's a tempter, isn't he? He tempts me all the time. But I don't have to yield to that, do I? But if he tempts me, then I know there's a greater power allowing that to happen for something in my life that needs to be taken care of. Amen? And we know that we have a greater power now that lives within us that is much more powerful than Satan ever could even think to be. The Scripture says, He who is in you. Amen? And that is the Holy Spirit. At one time, our spirits were dead. But once we confessed to the Lord that we were sinners and we needed His grace and mercy in our lives, then our spirit was revived. It came alive again. So it's now our spirit working with His spirit. But yet that's still that sinful nature. And Satan knows that. So he will come and tempt us with things that happened in the past. Or try something new on us. But really, there's nothing new under the sun, is there? There's nothing new under the sun. So he can throw these things at us. But he has no power, no control. I don't worry about him, and I don't sit and talk to him, and so on and so forth. Jesus used Scripture, didn't he? He didn't argue with him. So, there's not a better teacher for us than Jesus himself to show us the way. But we have that power that lives within us. If we allow that power, if we allow him that lives within us, the authority to do whatever is necessary in our lives to keep us on that path. Amen? Oops, getting behind again. In Him, 11, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. His will. And what, again, what is His will? We be to conform to be the image of His Son and walk in His way. You know, we have it so easy, but then if you think, if you go all the way back to the garden and think about what they had everything that was perfect. They were perfect. They had bananas, oranges, all these things, all this good stuff, strawberries, blueberries, all the good stuff, everything they ever wanted. But there was one stupid tree right there in the middle, and he says, don't touch that tree, because if you touch that tree, you're going to die. One tree, but everything else was theirs. Everything. Can you imagine that? Think about going into Walmart, and everything in that store is yours except one counter. But knowing me, I'd want that counter, right? There's one word that's there. It starts with an O. Does anybody know what that word is? O. What is it? Nope. O. Zero. O. What was that, sir? Very good. That's all they had to do. Be obedient to one little command of God. Don't touch the tree, or else you will surely die. But the tempter said, did God really say you would die? Planting the seeds, that's what he tries to do. That's why it's so very important to know, did God really say? And you pick up the book, yes, God really did say. Obedience. Because in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And it's all for us. It's all for us. Romans 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And if indeed we, there's a word there, what's it say? Suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Are we going to suffer? I think we will if we truly want to be obedient. It's inevitable. We're not going to get away with it. We're not going to get out of this world without it. I don't want to, because if I do, then when I get out of this world, I'm not going where I want to go. Amen? Is everything according to his purpose, according to his will. His will, his will, his will. Not mine. I better hustle here. All right. Isaiah 46:10. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. This note here is good. I like this. Our personal salvation was not only well planned, but demonstrates God's abiding faithfulness as he awaits the consummation of his great plan for his church. It's not a building. It's people. It's people. That's why I try as much as possible not to say I am going to church. I'm going to the fellowship. We're meeting in a building. But my church are my brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? That's my church. This is our building. This is a sanctuary with a roof. But we are the walking sanctuaries because he dwells. He lives within us. We are the walking church, if you want to put it that way. This is his sanctuary. He's living in me. Amen? Because he said, I will tabernacle with you. And that means he's living within us now. Amen? All right. I better hustle. That we also, 12, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. His glory, his glory, his glory. Nobody else's glory. 13, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, and this is the part here, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, the procuring cause and the preserving power. Did you get that? I'll say it again. The procuring cause and the preserving power. He was the cause to do it in us, and He is the preserving power in our life. He sealed us for His glory, for His praise, and for our eternal life. We are sealed. Amen? We are positionally sealed forever by the Holy Spirit to the glory of God because of Christ and His finished work at the cross. And because we said yes when He said, "Will you?" We said yes. So if you want to say you got a part in it, go ahead, because you said yes. You had two choices, yes or no, right? Because of our what? Free will. And we're going to finish with 14. It goes right on with the influence and the speaking of the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. We are the possession. We are the purpose possession. And that day is coming. Either we're going to go through the grave, or we're going to hear that trumpet, and we're all going to go up together. But regardless of that, each and every one of us sitting in this room now, there's a purpose for us, and that purpose is that we're going to all be together with Him in glory for all eternity. Amen? This is the whole, it's all in Him. This is what the Lord showed me on this, and this is what I hope you put in your hearts. It's all Christ. It's Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. It's nothing of ourselves. Nothing. It's only by His grace and His mercy. All of this abundance is ours, and it's overflowing. All we have to do is be obedient and embrace it and walk in that way. And no matter what comes in our lives, you know, we're going to stumble, we're going to fall. But what did He say in 1 John? When we sin, confess our sin, because He's faithful, He's just, and He will forgive us. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as long as we're in this body, we're going to have the sinful nature. But yet, God, in His mercy and His grace and His loving kindness, He knows this. That's why the blood is a continuum flow in our lives, cleansing us. But we must be obedient and say, "Lord, I screwed up again, but I want You to cleanse me again." He knows our hearts. We can't fool with Him. So just remember that. There is no sin that He will not forgive His children. Amen? Father, I thank You again for Your word and Your love and Your grace and Your mercy. Continue working in our hearts. Continue drawing us closer together as we draw closer to You. Thank You for this night and this fellowship, and we thank You through Christ our Lord. Amen.